Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Coming up, Jonathan Crompton in 45 minutes. We have Ron Slay and Ramon Foster. Ramon Foster of the Pittsburgh Steelers in studio with us today at 1 o'clock. Or, excuse me, noon. Noon to 1 o'clock in studio. Crew's all here today, including Coach Mack, Dave McGinnis, presented each and every week at this time by Farm Bureau Health Plans. What's up, Mack?
Guys, how are you? Good morning. I'm great. I'm good. It's a great way to start the morning out in here with you guys. And Morgan.
Very good. Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
He told her, we introduced her. We introduced him to her, and he said, good luck.
You're going to need it.
You're going to need it. And I mean it.
And I'm being honest. I don't even know the young lady. I wouldn't lie to her.
So coming up, we have Coach Mack's contacts, gentlemen. That's at 10:45.
Looking forward to that.
We're going to scroll through Mack's phone, or he'll do it for us, and he'll let us know who's going to join us today at 10:45. Looking forward to it. So, Mack, thank you for that. Let's start with Matt LaFleur,
okay,
head coach of the Green Bay Packers. We knew he interviewed well here last year. What ultimately do you think landed him the job in Green Bay? Because everybody that came through that door, they interviewed what, Paul, 10 people, including the interim?
Yeah, with Philbin? 8 to 10, anyway.
Everyone that came through the door had something in mind for Aaron Rodgers. So what do you think it was about LaFleur that sold Green Bay on LaFleur?
Well, you know, during Matt's career and during his, you know, young career, I mean, he's been involved with Matt Ryan, you know, who had a MVP year. He's been involved with the development of Jared Goff, you know, when he went in there. Everybody's trying to catch some of that Sean McVay magic and trying to catch a hold of some of that thing immediately offensively. He worked here with, Marcus Mariota, and the results clearly were mixed because of injury and because of some really great performances and then some not so good performances. And now, you know, he's got a Hall of Fame quarterback to work with. But I think they believe that he can relate to the quarterback. And I think that they're looking for, you know, they're looking for a spark offensively because the everything you read and what you heard was, and Mike McCarthy, I mean, let's not relegate the job that he did to the trash bin. I mean, but the words they kept using were that it got redundant and it got stale offensively. And so clearly that's what they're trying to rejuvenate. And he's had a history of being around some of those good things.
Did you watch any of the presser yesterday with him?
No, I did not.
Well, it looked like a guy that it hit him right when he sat down that he was the next head coach of the Green Bay Packers.
Well, it happened pretty fast.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened fast, and if that is in case what happened, but again, look, you're not really looking to win
the press
conference.
Right.
And some people are probably better than others at doing it, and he will get better at it, you know, because that's going to be something he's going to have to do daily now on a big, big stage. And that, look, I've been that guy. I mean, I've been the guy that's interviewed for three of these things, got two of them, and when I interviewed for that job that I got in Chicago, you know, it was a press conference. Press conference was part of the interview with the Chicago media and the national media. And so, you know, some guys handle that better than others. But at the end of the day, how's Rodgers going to do? How many games are they going to win?
Right.
That's what's going to matter.
Ultimately, what changes for him, aside from just being he's the head guy now?
Jonathan, everything.
Give us an example behind the scenes of something that he's going to have to worry about now that he didn't have to here.
Well, I mean, he's going to have to worry about, first of all, putting a staff together. That's number one. Second of all, you know, how am I going to allocate my time? And one thing that I told Jay Mart yesterday, we talked for quite a while in here. The biggest thing that you learn when you become a head coach, once you've been an assistant and from a coordinator, is your time allocation. Because here's what he's responsible for now. No matter how many other people and how many other departments are in that building, sooner or later, as a head coach of the National Football League, it all comes back to you. And it's different than at a major, you know, Power 5 university. They've got rows and rows of people to help you in those places. You know, organizations in the National Football League are relatively small, you know, as far as to the magnitude of the money and everything else that's going on. So everything's going to come back to him. And so, you know, I liken it to when I was coaching young linebackers, telling him it's a difference between driving with your dim lights on at night and putting your bright lights on. He's got to get his brights on now because he's in charge of everything.
With Greg Cosell said yesterday to us that he feels like there's going to be debate there. LaFleur comes from a tree that wants things done a precise way. Everybody in the right spot, things on rhythm and timing. And obviously, Rodgers thrives in off-schedule stuff. And that LaFleur certainly will allow for some of that and knows he's got a guy that thrives on some of that. But there's going to be a limit to how much of that he wants. And that Rodgers is going to have to find a balance between how much of that his coach finds acceptable and how much he wants him on schedule. What are your thoughts?
No, I don't disagree with Greg on that at all. I think Greg's got a pretty good insight into that. But again, this quarterback that he's getting ready to work with now, I mean, is a future Hall of Fame quarterback. And so your approach is different with that type of thing. And look, the one thing that you have to be able to do in this league, and not only just as a head coach, but as any type of coach, you need to adjust to what your people do best. And then look, when you're working with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers that has had all the success that he has had, and now you've changed head coaches on him, you know, deep into his career, he's gonna have to, I mean, Matt LaFleur will have to be flexible too, and I would expect him to be, Paul, and I think that's a fair observation from Greg.
Football is still a sport where the head coach has power in most instances. When we talk about the NBA, we talk about we don't like how the head coach has no power. The star player of that team controls everything in the NBA. Green Bay may be one of those rare situations where the head coach has a lot less power than the quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. Is that a consideration when you take a job like that and you go there knowing that, I'm not saying you're answering to Aaron Rodgers, but you better make sure Aaron Rodgers is happy at all times, given his track record?
Chad, I will say that to this question and to that point. Anytime you're interviewing for a head job in the National Football League, you need to know the territory you're going into. And all of them are different. But you need to understand, you know, what that is, and you need to have something in mind when you go in there, because you cannot go in there, you know, oblivious to what's gone on and to what may go on. You have to have your eyes wide open with what that is. And look, Aaron Rodgers is, I mean, he's a dominant force in this league and always has been, but I'm sure Matt LaFleur was very aware of that when he started interviewing for this job. But it's a fair question.
So, give me an example. When you took the job in Arizona, we've talked about the interview process and what you needed to know when interviewing with the owner there. What was the situation in the locker room you needed to be aware of? Whether it be quarterback, the defense, the leadership on the team, what did you know going in that you needed to know?
Well, when I took that job over, it was a hot mess. I mean, let's just
there was no one you had to answer to when you got there.
Let's just be honest with, you know, about that. I mean, it was a hot mess. I mean, that club was getting ready to move. They'd already had two failed referendums on a stadium, all right? That was before you had a floor on the salary cap that you had to at least spend up to. And so, I mean, there was a lot of money left unspent on the cap just because they didn't have the money and they weren't going to spend it. You know, you never had your first round draft pick signed until they got the television money in September. I mean, there were some unusual things going on there. I had been there. I knew that. So when you do, I mean, my first job to get there, I mean, it was a horrendous cap situation. That was back as to when you used to could mess the cap up as bad as a third world country economy, you know, and they had done that. And so I had to clear the cap and then plus, you know, help get a stadium built or that club was not going to be there. The locker room, really, seriously, Chad, the locker room was the least of my problems when I took that job there. As I said, every situation is unique.
What, we talked a lot about this. LaFleur is going to want a couple guys from this staff who the Titans don't have to grant permission for him to talk to. I'd imagine be low-ranking guys like maybe somebody like a Mike Sullivan, who's an offensive assistant here who could get a position there, in which case you'd be inclined maybe to do him a solid and let him go for a promotion. You were a coach who probably faced this situation. What should Robinson and Vrabel be willing to do in terms of letting guys go? What's their obligation in terms of keeping guys for their own benefit?
Well, and the first thing is, and I'm sure you've explained this, Paul, because you know what it is. Look,
oh God, people cannot get their heads around.
Okay, there was at one time, look, in the National Football League, where if this group was on my staff, I could say, okay, Paul, I'm going to name you associate head coach in charge of outside runs, and I'm going to name you, Jonathan, associate head coach inside of inside runs. You'd give a title, and that way, a title was a promotion, and so if you were going for a promotion, then you could go. All right. Well, the owners got tired of that. And so then
the coaches screwed it up because you were finagling it.
They were finagling it. Absolutely were. And, you know, give a coach a chance to cheat and he will. All right. We went through a period in this league with assistant coaches where you had tags. You had two tags you could put on two coaches that were untouchable. All right.
Which was intended for coordinators, but became assistant head coaches.
That's right. You could say, okay, Paul, you got the tag. So they can't talk to you. You've got the tag. They can't talk to you.
So I can make it, hey, Chad, I'm going to make you coordinator. You're the play caller, so you've got a pretty good thing. Dave, you're assistant head coach, and you've got the tag. Both of you guys are pretty happy. Right. I'm safe there.
And the tag could come without a title. It was just the tag.
You've got the tag.
And you can't, nobody can talk. And then that was.
You were tagged at one point, right?
I was one of those coaches for a while. I mean, I had three different places where anyway, it doesn't matter, but I was one of those. So they got rid of that. And so here's what they did. They simplified it. And I know you've talked about this, Paul, because I know that you know what's going on with this, is there's two designations of coaches in the National Football League. There's head coaches and there's everybody else. And if you are under it, you cannot be held back from interviewing for a head coaching job if you get the opportunity. But anybody else that's under contract, if you are under contract, the club that you're under contract with is not obligated to let you talk or go.
Coach Mac, Dave McGinnis in studio with us.
Just real quick,
yeah.
Do you think they let people talk?
Well, look,
what's the code in terms of somebody a solid?
It's a case by case. It's a case by case. Situation that goes on with. I know all the years that I was a head coach, if somebody wanted to talk to one of my coaches, I would call them in and talk to them, but I would never hinder them from going if they truly wanted to. Jeff Fisher never hindered anybody. When I came to work for him, I had three chances to leave. He told me every time they send a slip in, they don't have to notify you that somebody has sent a slip in on you either. Jeff Fisher always did. Some coaches are steadfast as far as they want to keep somebody. They'll call you in. I've been told that before too. When I was in Chicago, twice they came after me, and the owner came down and said, we've got a request, permission denied. Turned around and walked out. So I've been on both ends of the spectrum.
Sunday, the Chargers are at the Patriots, followed by the Eagles and Saints. Coverage starts Sunday morning at 11:30 on 104.5 The Zone.
Coach Mack in studio with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. We'll preview some of those NFL matchups in just a moment. Your phone's been ringing off the hook this week, well, probably the last couple of weeks, with other coaches, both, I'm assuming, coaches and front office members, vetting potential openings or current openings across the league, right?
That's true. I mean, let's put this out there, and let's be very transparent with this. I've been doing this a long time, and fortunately, in all of my years of doing this, you know, I haven't told very many lies, and so people know that I'm going to tell them the truth.
Right.
And plus, I've got no axe to grind. You know, I will give my fair evaluation. And the fact that I've been doing this for a while and know, you know, coaches at all different levels, you know, that have been in the league for a long time, that have been in the league a middle amount of time. And then the younger coaches, because, you know, all the years I was with Jeff Fisher, I was in charge of the Bill Walsh program. You know, I've vetted a lot of college coaches, you know, I've done so anyway, and not that I'm the end all to be all, but they always want some other opinion, you know, other than somebody that they think might be trying to advance their own cause or might be trying to advance somebody else's cause. All I do is just give an evaluation, you know, and if I don't know them, well, I'm the first to say, Jonathan, I don't know them. And I'm not going to sit here and try to play like I know who they are. If I do know them and I do have an opinion, I will give them my honest opinion, and they appreciate that. And that's most, you know, that's most people around the league. And so, yes, it has been, because what normally happens is even when they're in pursuit of a head coach will go in with a list. He'll have a list three or four deep of people at positions. And just to Paul's point that we were talking about in that last segment, there's some guys you want that you cannot get. And you might want them the first year. You might be able to give them the second or third year. It still doesn't mean you don't vet those people. But again, so if somebody comes in and interviews and has a list of guys, and I'll get a call and say, Mac, hey, do you know this, this, and this? It might be the second or third guy down their list. I don't know that. I don't ask. I don't care. But I'll give them my honest opinion. And yes, that has been going on.
Would you ever consider going to work for a search firm or a consulting group that does business like this all the time in college and the NFL?
That would be no. That would be hell no. I mean, I like doing what I'm doing. I love this.
Well, it doesn't have to be full time.
No,
I'm saying they came to you and said, we want to pay you to help us pick coaches for colleges.
I don't want to get paid for that. I don't want to do that. That's not what I do. And again, I think that's part of the fact that why some of them call me, because they know that I've got nothing to gain nor nothing to lose. I just will tell them the truth.
Let's do a little midday 180 vetting here. Give me your thoughts on Cliff Kingsbury as the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
It's unusual. I mean, that's unusual. I mean, and again, I mean, think about his last 3 or 4 weeks. You know, how's that gone? Okay. I mean, you get fired at Get Your Guns Up Raiders. Okay. You get fired at Texas Tech, and you're not out on the market very long. And then all of a sudden you're named the offensive coordinator at USC, which is a fairly decent job.
Landing spot. Yeah,
landing spot. And I'm not sure he ever hung a picture on the wall there. And then all of a sudden, then you start getting some, you know, I think he had some inquiries about being a coordinator in this league before that ever happened. I'm sure that he fielded those calls. And then all of a sudden, you get a call, would you interview for this job? So, I mean, it's unusual. But look, in the National Football League, guys, and you guys know this better than anybody, you guys are as dialed in as anybody on this league with what goes on. It only takes one owner. It takes one owner. I mean, you're not dealing with committees in the National Football League. You're dealing with individuals. And it takes one owner, you know, and basically, you know, say, well, it takes a general manager. Well, not really. The general manager answers to the owner. It takes one owner to say, you know what? I want to bring that guy in and talk to him. Hey, I like that guy. That guy's going to be what I want. And so that's what happened.
Vic Fangio in Denver.
I love Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio is probably one of the most underappreciated. I'm not going to say underrated, because people in this league know I go all the way back with Vic Fangio. He got his start with Jim Mora in the USFL, you know, with the Philadelphia Baltimore Stars, you know, with them. And I interviewed for the secondary job with that organization that Dom Capers got. Dom Capers and I interviewed with Jim Mora for that job. So, and then he worked for Vince Tobin, who I worked for. Anyway, so I've known Vic for a long time. Vic is one of the best defensive ball coaches in this league. Vic is hardcore. Vic is tough. He is smart. He is a non-self-promoter. Look, one of the biggest compliments I can pay a player in this league is say he's a pro. And one of the biggest compliments I can pay a guy that coaches in this league is to say he's a ball coach. And that's what Vic Fangio is.
How about the pairing with him and Kubiak?
I love that. I love that. I mean, that's very, very solid. Because I think what Kubes has done is he's taken a while to reconvene and recover a little bit, you know, from his health issues. But he's like all of us. Once you're a ball coach, you're always a ball coach. And I think that's going to be a pairing to really look at. But just football wise, I love that.
The Jets and Adam Gase.
Well, I mean, Adam Gase, you know, when he was down there in Miami, was beating them. Of course, a lot of people were beating them. But at the same time, again, you got a young quarterback. You know, you know, Peyton Manning has put his stamp on Adam Gase.
How big is that with Adam Gase?
Well, it's big.
That seems to be the one thing that I hear about Adam Gase is from every writer. Hey, go ask Peyton Manning about his knowledge of offense. You know, Peyton Manning's the biggest grinder out there, and Peyton Manning loves this guy. That's the endorsement I hear from him, and it's one guy.
Well, but it's important because of this. Because I would say, and I don't know Peyton Manning real well personally. I know enough about him, have defended against him a lot, and know enough about him. He's not going to give somebody a recommendation that he doesn't think's good. I mean, why would he? And so that has to carry some weight. They've got a young quarterback there. Sam Darnold's, you know, has got a chance to do something in this league, and they wanted somebody to be a guy that could put something in place with him. And they've got a lot of money up there now in free agency. I mean, you want to talk about salary cap stuff. I mean, they got a couple of Brink trucks full of it up there right now for free agency. I mean, that didn't shock me. It really didn't.
Greg Williams in New York is going to be dangerous, and they're hiring Blake as well. Your thoughts on them with Gase?
Well, I think it's fine. Look, Greg Williams is a ball coach, and whatever defenses he's ever coached, they will play for him. I have witnessed it firsthand. I've been in meeting rooms for years with him. I see how he gets some play. Now, you know, Greg will do some things that some people look at and go, well, what? Look, the players, you've talked to any players that have played for Greg Williams defensively, they love him. They swear by him because here's what he is with them. He's very honest with them, and he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing, and plus, he's for his guys. He's for his guys, you know, constantly. I mean, that'll be pretty interesting.
Freddie Kitchens has had quite the 12 months. Goes from running backs coach to interim OC and now the full-time head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
You know what, though, Jonathan? Freddie Kitchens is one of those guys in the National Football League that's kind of been hovering under the surface for a long time. Anybody you ever talked to about Freddie Kitchens said, you know, he is just – and, of course, you remember the health issues he had out there in Arizona, and everybody was very, you know, very concerned with him there. But he's somebody that's very well respected in coaching circles because he's not a self-promoter at all. Okay, he's very solid, and he's probably a little bit behind the curve as far as promotions go because he's deserved, you know, a lot of things. Now, he's clearly did a great job with Baker Mayfield, and look. They got a young quarterback that they turned around and they feel like they've turned something around. They got a lot of cap space too and a lot of good young players. I think Freddie Kitchens might do a pretty good job.
Coach Mack, Dave McGinnis with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Coming up, we debut an off-season segment with Coach Mack. Coach Mack's contacts, where we will scroll through the iPhone and he'll select a special guest to join us from time to time, maybe weekly, maybe every other week. But he's got someone in mind today. Who are we calling when we come back from break?
You know what? This is a guy that's one of my favorites of all time. Pulling out the phone right now that played for me, has just been inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame, Jake the Snake Plumber. Let's see if I can get the snake on the phone.
Mac, we have your former quarterback on the line and new member. As of this year, he'll be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. Jake Plummer on the line with us.
Jake.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Jake, it's good. Hey, thanks for answering the phone. You know, they said, will he answer the phone if you call? And I said, I think so. He always has.
You're damn right I will.
Hey, it's so good. It's so good to have you on. You know, you know, there are a couple of things I want to talk about and bring up, and let's start with something that I think touched you and my heart very, very deeply. You know, within the last week was the passing of Kwame Lassiter, and the reason I want to bring this up right now, and I've reached out to you before on this, but that group that we had, you know, back then, and especially that group in you know, that was able to really get something started there in Arizona. I mean, you and I and Rob Moore went door to door with a Fox TV crew, you know, to try to get the stadium built, which we did. And by the way, Rob's here coaching the receivers here now, and I'm going to call him after we get off, and say I just talked to Jake. But anyway, but Kwame's passing, you know, so suddenly, I mean, really, it really broke my heart. But I know that you had a very, very close association with Kwame. Just your thoughts right now, Jake, because I want everybody to know what a special, not only player he was. I mean, he had four interceptions against San Diego that put us in the playoffs in 98, but just what a special type of person he was, Jake.
Well, you know, you just said that his record was four interceptions, and I can recall a conversation I had with him where, you know, he didn't really care about that record. What he cared about was that he had a chance to make a fifth interception. It didn't happen. So he would have been the sole record holder for five in a game. Unbelievable. You know, when I think of Kwame, I think of a lot of things. I was first, you know, my thoughts go out to Erica and his family and close friends because he really was a breath of fresh air whenever you saw him. He was always happy, always had a gleam in his eye and was always really receptive and welcoming. Whenever I saw him, it was always a, you know, rekindling a feeling past where we put a lot of hard work together to do something special there with the Cardinals. And he was one of my guys on defense. As a quarterback, you got to have someone you can lean on and talk to. And when you need them to step up, you know, you can just go to one person. And that was my guy, was Kwame, because I knew he'd demand the best from everybody around him. And off the field, you know, a great friend, a fun guy to golf with, talk to through you know, the times and the struggles, some of the struggles we had, some of the great times we had down there. And post-career, a guy I always, you know, he came to every one of my charity events, you know, helped out with everything I ever did. And we became pretty good buddies through just when I'd go to Arizona, getting a chance to sit down, and whether it was golfing or having a beer or hanging out with him, he was always there for me. And just a great dude. And you know, four interceptions in one game and multiple years with other interceptions, multiple interceptions, you know, the term ball hawk is what I think. You know, he was a Kansas Jayhawk, but if you want to talk about like one of the best ball hawks I'd ever played ball with, the guy just made plays. He had a very innate ability to be in the right moment at the right time. He was lengthy and athletic and just a great guy. I'm really going to miss him. You know, when someone that young, 49 years old, passes, you know, you start to just think about life and how important those relationships are to make sure you continue to reach out to old teammates and friends. And I'm just thankful I got to see him in November and see how happy and positive he was. And just had to see him go. You know, Coach, he was one of those foundational guys that you can have in the locker room. You know, everything's good when Kwame's around, and I'm going to miss seeing that guy.
Absolutely, Jake. And you guys, that was a special group that we had. And as I said, you know, I was always very close to my players, but Kwame had a special place in my heart. Look, let's talk a little bit. Let's talk a little bit now about something that we all can celebrate and that made me so proud. I mean, give me your thoughts. And I know how big you were on teammates and spreading the glory and the talk, because you were always the quarterback and you were always Jake the Snake. You were always the guy, but you always spread all of that to your teammates. Talk to me about what this means to you and what an honor and a very well-deserved one being inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, Jake.
Well, thank you, Coach O. It is definitely an honor. It's, I was surprised. I'm very honored and humbled. You know, anytime you receive an accolade or get inducted into any Hall of Fame, let alone the College Hall of Fame, which is a very select few players that played in the college ranks, get inducted into that Hall of Fame. You know, I can't help, you know, through my whole career, you know, it all comes back to people that played a large part in that. And first and foremost, you know, Bruce Snyder, you know, who's no longer with us, you know, he was the guy who headed up that whole recruitment process, making multiple trips to small little Boise, Idaho. Even one time in a snowstorm, ruined a pair of Florsheim shoes. And I didn't even know what Florsheim meant. I thought he was talking about shining the floor or something with his shoes. But he ruined a pair of shoes in a snowstorm with Bobby Petrino, and they pursued me heavily, telling me if I came to ASU, we'd have a chance to win a national title. And we almost did. So, you know, I was very thankful for those coaches that were instrumental in giving this young kid out of Boise a chance to come down. And as I can recall walking into that building and talking to a guy like Shontae Carter, just this giant of a man, defensive end, who was pretty scary for me to go up and meet. He was just chuckling, thinking, what the heck is Coach Snyder? What's Coach Snyder on right now, bringing this kid in, saying he's the savior of this program? And I was, you know, maybe a cool 165, maybe 170, coming in to lead those guys. And, you know, I did it fearlessly. I did it knowing that, you know, if I was going to do anything as an individual and achieve anything like a Hall of Fame, I had to make sure my teammates were there beside me no matter what, win or lose. Always, you know, make sure that I gave them the love they deserved, because a lot of those guys go about their business without any type of fanfare, without any front page articles or anything at all. But they're the most instrumental guys that you know, that are on the field to make me have success. So, you know, I had a lot of great guys that you know, were there for me in times of struggle, were celebrating with me in times of jubilation and winning. And, you know, I just have a lot of them to thank for this individual honor. You know, in a team sport, when you get an individual honor, like anybody knows, it goes back to the guys around you. And we had a great core of guys, a lot of really amazing athletes, a lot of amazing coaches. If you look at who coached me through my years, Bobby Petrino, Hugh Jackson, Dan Henson, John Pettis, those are my QB coaches that really allowed me to be who I was as a leader, as an individual. And that was Bruce Snyder, too, letting that whole group of guys be individuals, but taught us, you know, he taught us really how to care about each other. And that, you know, one thing for sure, we're a team. There's no individuals. And so I give my love and my props and everything for this induction back to all those guys that helped me through the years.
Jake Plummer is with us on the Midday 180.
Are you still a big handball guy? And if so, can you kind of give us the basics and tell us why it's not bigger?
Handball is still a big part of my life when I can do it, right? It's as a former player, we got bumps and bruises and injuries that sometimes it prevents me from playing as much handball as I'd like, because if I could, I'd play it every single day. But I still, you know, stay slim and limber and everything I can to chase around my kids and to enjoy life. So really, that's what it's about, to enjoy what I did playing ball. But, you know, those years are long, far gone now. I haven't been on a field, you know, swinging in a long time. But getting out on the handball court is definitely something that ignites my competitive desires and helps me scratch that itch to get out and have some fun and lose my mind a little bit out there on the handball court.
Jake, what do you think of when you think of Coach Mac?
Oh, man, I talked about you, Coach, in a few interviews. Just, you know, 2 years you get coached by certain guys, and whether it's your position coach or the head coach, you have a relationship with certain coaches, and some are you know, much more involved than others. But I know my time there in Arizona prior to you being the head coach, Coach Mac, you know, we got along really well. And it goes back to, like I just said, I mean, anything I accomplished, it wasn't just me. You know, I had to have a defense on the other side of the ball that respected me, that wanted to play hard and get the ball back for me when I made a bad mistake or a bad decision. And, you know, you were always there for me when you were the DC, and then when you were the OC, you know, player's coach, a guy who can relate and understand what we're going through as individuals on and off the field. He was one of the best. And I love playing for you, Coach, along with every one of those guys. And, you know, thinking back to it, I just wish we could have put a few more pieces of that puzzle together to continue what we started in 98, because, you know, we did have the makings of a pretty special team, and it just didn't work out.
We may have lost him right there.
Or may not get a proper goodbye.
I know. He sounds like your type of quarterback, though, Mac.
Absolutely.
The Snake?
Yeah.
The best ever. I mean, as competitive and as good a person as you ever want to be. I mean, I love Jake Plummer.
Well, you are one of the best segments we have every week, particularly in terms of bringing the energy. And you know, yep, we love bringing the energy. And if you're bringing your cell phone every week and giving us a guy like this with 3 minutes notice, it's going to vastly become one of the best segments of our 20 hours.
As John Hutton said, we'll do this intermittently, because I've got a few names in there.
Just a few. Hopefully he doesn't pick one of our names 1 week. Hopefully he doesn't land on us.
We have to go into Rhett's studio over there, Colin.
You guys,
hey, this is Paul. What? I'm over down the hall. What's up, fellas?
You guys,
good catching up.
You guys are in the phone.
We're honored to be in there. Thanks a lot.
Mac, thank you.
Thanks, guys. That's great.
Coach Mac, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans.